The next issue we have in to the church is racism still in the church. Yes, racism is still dominant in the church. Prove it. You got black church. You got a white church. And these churches classify as themselves as being black or being white. And I'm saying this to tell you, Mom, people that have these division of these culturalism in the church, they're showing division in the church. They're showing isms and schisms and racisms in the church. And if we as a nation of people must recognize that God is not into color. God is not into culture. God, we as being a nation must come together as being one. Because God is not into whether you're black or whether you're white or whether you're Puerto Rico Chinese. Because when we get to heaven, you're going to be nations and kindred in heaven. It's not going to be whether it's a white. And I want to read something in the Bible. And see, a Cyrenian that carried a cross for Jesus. And every picture that I've seen is that Jesus was white. Jesus was a man with long hair and blue eyes and hippie. But never been a picture of a black Jesus. Never been a picture of Japanese Jesus, Chinese Jesus. Or the Jesus in Rome is white. Now the popes, they worship a black Madonna. Yes, they worship a black Madonna. They say that the Madonna, which was Mary, she was black. And Jesus was black in the arm of Mary. But Jesus was a Jew. And I'm going to research and tell you that Jews are not European. Jews have that tone color. Jews was not the Jews that's in Jerusalem right now. These Jews are from Europe. That's why in the Bible say the synagogue of Satan. They say they are Jews and are not, but a synagogue of Satan. So racism is still in the church. Every picture of Jesus is white. Sitting around a table, disciples are white. And I'm saying this as a man that loved the word of God, as a man that preached the word of God. God is not what you paint him to be. Let's start picturing him as being, because the Bible said we have no confidence in the flesh. What say? We have no confidence. The Bible say don't glory in the flesh. God don't glory in the flesh. It's all about the spirit. When Paul went to Athens and saw inscription, amen. And I'm gonna read that. He saw a scripture and say, then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and say, he men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotion, I found an altar with an inscription to the unknown God, whom therefore you ignorantly worship. Him I declare unto you, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he's Lord of heaven and earth, dwell not in temple made with hand. Neither is worship with men's hand, as though he need anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and have made of one blood. From the blood? Of one blood. All nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and have determined the time before appointed and bound of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him, and have found him, though he not be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poet have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold and silver and stone engraven by men, by art and men devices. And the time of ignorance God winked at, but now commanded all men everywhere to repent. God, what God wants you to do? God want us to repent, wherein he appointed a day in the which we shall judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he had ordained, whereof he had given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. So we see that also, and let me say this, that there are three main organizations that is racist. Pure, unpure racist. We got a Seventh-day Adventist that never had a black president. We have the Mormon church that one time they think black people was a curse. And we have the Jehovah's Witness, they never had a black president also. So I'm saying, and the Mormons, I mentioned before the Mormons say that if you're black, you're cursed. So racism is still in the church. And that's why there's so many division in the church. That's why we have Satanism. We have people that worship Satan. I said, there are people that worship Satan because they're looking at us and saying that this is one of the reasons why I don't believe that there's a God. But there's a God whether you believe it or not. Because the Bible says in Mark 16, he that believeth and baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. So if you don't believe, you are damned. If you believe, you are saved. Amen. So let's end racism in the church. What? Let's put an end to racism and start loving everybody. It's not black lives matter. It's all lives matter. Black lives matter is racism. All lives matter is a culture with color.
Is there so many churches, yes, even in the good old Bible Belt of the USA, that has a stronghold of racism within the four walls? That's why when, as an evangelist, most of the churches I went to, they were all white churches. Nobody saying nothing. And can I tell you what? There's nothing that irks me. This is my pet peeve. There's nothing that irks me as a white man when I look out in the congregation of a local body of believers. All I see before me are white faces. Because that shows me there's a deeper problem at work within that church. And it's a spirit of racism. It's a spirit of bigotry. It's not a depiction of heaven. Because can I tell you what? That if you have a hard time worshiping beside someone that has a different skin pigmentation than you do, I want you to know you're not going to the heaven that I'm going to. Some of you, when you get there, if you make it, you're going to be so smitten by color, you ain't going to know what hit you. I said there's not a black heaven, there's not a white heaven, there's not a Chinese heaven. It's all God's people. Red, yellow, black, and white, they are precious in his sight.
Talks about blackness being a curse, and this is where. So we're in 2 Nephi, even the chapter heading says, because of their unbelief, the Lamanites are cursed, receive a skin of blackness, and become a scourge unto the Nephites. Basically, the Lamanites are being bad, and then we see this in verse 21. He caused a cursing to come upon them, yea, even a sore, cursing because of their iniquity. For behold, they had hardened their hearts against him, and they had become like unto a flint, wherefore as they were white and exceedingly fair and delightsome, that they might not be enticing unto my people, the Lord did cause a skin of blackness to come upon them. And then it also says, and cursed shall be the seed of him that mixeth with their seed. And this is known as the mark of Cain. On top of that, black people couldn't have the priesthood, which is like God's power, until the late 1970s. And it was strongly discouraged to marry someone outside of your own race.
Taught that black people were under something called the curse of Cain. Joseph Smith taught that this mark was black skin and that this is where all black people come from. He also taught that this was the reason God permitted slavery. The Book of Mormon, the book of scripture translated by Joseph Smith, also includes verses about how the most righteous people in the book are white and delightsome. The people in the book who sin are cursed by God with a skin of blackness. Some early black members of the Mormon church were promised that in the afterlife their skin would turn white. Brigham Young taught that interracial marriage should be punished by death. It's not just early church history, though, because many, many Mormon leaders were opposed to the civil rights movement. Throughout the history of the Mormon church, black people were not permitted to go into the temple to receive the temple ordinances, and they were also not permitted to have the priesthood. These racial restrictions were lifted in 1978 after a lawsuit by the NAACP, though it wasn't until 2013 that the church disavowed its teachings on race for the first time. Today, there are an estimated 400,000 to a million black members of the church. Some people dismiss the church's stances as just being a product of the time. And while I might say that argument kind of holds up for a business or an organization or the government, don't you think that God's literal true church on the earth today should be held to a higher standard? Why is God exactly as bigoted and racist as whatever the modern culture is? This is
at Jim Crow and slavery. It doesn't just stop at political affiliations. The spirit of racism can hide in the way that we witness. It can influence us as the body of Christ in how we treat the very people that we say that we want to help. How we move into communities that we don't even research or try to get to know the community enough to see how it may displace them. How we attach sin to any cultural expression that isn't white. We have a lot of Christians walking around here who don't believe that they have a racial bias. We as believers cannot sleep on diversity, equity, and inclusion. We can't believe that just because we have Jesus, that we also may not have a racial bias either.
With G.D. Brown's, yes, I've experienced it too. And especially when black and brown people are the ones who have a lot of internalized racism and they perpetuate it to either themselves or to other black and brown people, it is absolutely horrific. Before I went to America, you know, about 7 years ago, my goodness, maybe nearly eight, I had a few white British people explained to me, you know, about the Seventh-day Adventist Church over there, which is divided into state conferences, i.e. white conferences, and region conferences. And the region conferences are black conferences. So they are all one church, but they function separately. And so what I had been told was that the black people don't want to merge with white people. They just want to do their own thing. They just want to have drums. They just want to do this. So black people were painted to me by white British people who had lived there or visited there as the ones having a problem. It didn't take long for me, when I got there, literally took less than a month for me to realize and to understand the history of the church, and where regional conferences, these black conferences, were started by black people, because black pastors were not getting paid the same as white pastors. Black people had to sit at the back of the churches. They were not allowed to sit anywhere that they wanted to sit. And then also, like, there was a woman, a girl that you know, was kind of white passing, and but when they realized in an Adventist hospital, when they realized that she was actually black, they sent her away from there and they wouldn't treat her. And anyway, she went, and I think she was treated in a Catholic hospital, but then there was another one that actually passed away on their way from the Adventist hospital. Because they were black, they wouldn't be treated. So regional conferences were formed to help black people. But here I was as a black African going to America and thinking, oh, these people, you know, because I believed what I had been told. And I also met people in America who were mostly of African descent, from Africa, who would often look down on black people, on black American, and shame them and say that they're lazy and say all sorts of horrific things. And these were Christian black people. So I completely understand. Thank you for your comment.
The Mormon idea that everyone turns white when they get to heaven. And the ridiculousness of it. And then I remembered, oh yeah, you grew up Seventh-day Adventist. And so I think it's time for another installment of...
Statements I was effectively taught to believe came straight from the mouth of God, part 7.
What's interesting about this is this particular lady claimed to have witnessed, seen, and talked to Jesus many times over her life. Never noticed he wasn't a white man.
Black people from the priesthood and from doing saving ordinances within the temple until 1978. This was a complete ban of salvation, and it was doctrine, which is meant to be eternal and unchanging. This is from the first presidency of the church in 1947.
From the days of the prophet Joseph, even until now, it has been the doctrine of the church, never questioned by any of the church leaders, that the Negroes are not entitled to the full blessings of the gospel.
From Brigham Young.
Why are so many of the inhabitants of the earth cursed with a skin of blackness? It comes in consequence of their fathers rejecting the power of the holy priesthood. They will go down to death.
And this stems from a much deeper rooted problem found within LDS scripture. As it has been taught that black skin is a curse that God carries out upon the wicked. Adding insult to injury, this white skin is also referred to as delightsome, and the black skin as filthy and not enticing. If here's just one example in 2 Nephi chapter 5.
For behold, they had hardened their hearts against him, that they had become like unto a flint. Wherefore, as they were white, and exceedingly fair and delightsome, that they might not be enticing unto my people, the Lord God did cause a skin of blackness to come upon them. And cursed shall be the seed of him that mixeth with their seed, for they shall be cursed even with the same cursing. And the Lord spake it, and it was done.
All hope is not lost, however, for in 3 Nephi we read that dark-skinned Lamanites who converted unto the Lord had their curse taken from them, and their skin became white like unto the Nephites. Maybe that's what happened to me.
My motor. The fact that a black man pulled through our church parking lot and had to actually ask if he would be welcome to visit our church. I was absolutely floored when I assured him that certainly he could come to our church. He could be a part of our church at any time. We take people of all ethnic backgrounds. It doesn't matter what color they are. Good grief, I have a daughter that's Hispanic. And I thought to myself, is that where we are in this race-baiting society, that now it's a white church or a black church? How about we just get up, grab a Bible, and go to God's church? Any church that would tell someone that they are no longer welcome there based on their color is not a church at all. It's not a body of Christ. It's a coffee-drinking social club and ought to be shut down and abandoned. Jesus died for every single person. The only race in the Bible is the human race. And I'm here to tell you, if I bleed and you bleed, we all bleed the same color. And so the fact that someone would even have to ask that just absolutely appalls me. We have to come together racially.
Our nation's history, we understand the curse that was slavery, white people do, and we say that was bad, but we miss the blessing of slavery, that it actually built up the framework for the world that white people live again.
Yes.
Skin issue. Somebody's going to help me preach this today. I can feel it. Okay, what is it? It is a sin issue. In fact, James 2:9 says this: if you favor some people over others, what are you doing? You're committing a sin. He said, you're guilty of breaking the law. Hey, I like you because you look like me. I mean, my kids can play with your kids because they look like my kids. I mean, we were educated the same place. We look kind of the same way. You know, we're kind of the same economic sphere. So, hey, but you're different, you see.
Story that I've told before, mostly because I believe it's really pertinent to what you're talking about here. I grew up in a Pentecostal church, the Church of God in Christ. Most people know the church by its acronym, COGIC. The Church of God in Christ was founded in 1907. It was birthed out of a revival of Azusa Street that started just a year earlier. In those early years, the Church of God in Christ saw crazy growth as they ordained both white and black ministers. Now, as I'm sure you can imagine, that didn't sit well with a lot of white congregants in the early 1900s. So all of the white ministers associated with that body got together in Hot Springs, Arkansas in April of 1914. And it was there that they decided to rid themselves of the black presence that they were experiencing church, and they started their own white Pentecostal denomination, the Assemblies of God. Now, I grew up COGIC. I went to an Assembly of God high school, and I never knew the racist history that sparked the growth of one of the biggest Pentecostal denominations in the world. Hey.
Can I help you?
Hi, I'm here for church.
Oh, I think you have the wrong church.
Oh, no, this is the right one, 33rd. I stay on 35th Street.
I hardly believe that.
What?
You look homeless. It looks like maybe you're here for a handout or something. This is a church.
I am. Is that not okay?
Well, do you have any ID?
All right.
Looks fake to me.
It's not. No, it's not.
You know, it's a sin to lie.
Quick facts, this is not my family church. We had moved to a new town. I was going by myself. I had been invited by my classmates from the new town. And so I'd been going for about 6 to 8 months. Anyways, the pastor came up in front of the congregation one day and was talking about sin and how there are actual things that we can see that can identify our sin. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, it's going to be the way we act, the way we are, how we speak, our tone. No. This guy gets in front of this congregation of all white people and says that the outward sign was by turning them black. Are you effing kidding me? I thought it was a joke. I really did. I could not even wrap my high school brain around this. Mind you, it's the very last time I ever went to that church.
You're gonna learn today. On this episode, we're talking about the Black 14, exiled for protesting Mormon racism. Let's go. In October of 1969, 14 black student athletes were kicked off the University of Wyoming football team for simply requesting to participate in a peaceful protest during an upcoming game versus Brigham Young University. The protest was organized by the Black Student Alliance to protest the racist policies and practices of the Mormon Church. The 14 black players came up with the idea of wearing black armbands to show solidarity with the Black Student Alliance. But before they could participate, they were dismissed from the team by their white coach, Lloyd Eaton, even though the team was undefeated and 7 of the Black 14 players were starters. Prior to being exiled, the 14 asked for a meeting with their coach to express their desire to show solidarity against racism. After listening for 10 minutes,
Coach Eaton dismissed him from the team, saying in part, quote, "If you don't like the way we run things around here, then you better go play for Grambling or Morgan State," end quote. Coach Eaton went on to tell the 14 that their protest was stupid and they knew nothing of Mormonism, seemingly unaware that one of the 14 was raised Mormon. The governor, the board of trustees, and most of the faculty at the school backed Coach Eaton. The president of the university came out and stated that in Wyoming, football came before civil rights. Local and national media picked up the story, and support for the Black 14 poured in from all over the country. Sports Illustrated covered the story on November 3, 1969. The basis of the Black Student Alliance protest was racism in the Mormon Church, specifically the Mormon Church policy that barred any Black Mormon from serving in the priesthood. The game against Brigham Young University was chosen as the right moment to demonstrate because BYU is owned and operated by the Mormon Church. The NAACP filed a federal lawsuit against Wyoming University for a violation of civil rights. A judge in Wyoming threw the case out after a hearing, but without a trial. The case eventually went to trial, but the same judge ruled in favor of Wyoming University. Without the Black 14, the team lost the last four games of 1969 and all of its games except one in 1970. On December 6, 1970, Coach Eaton claimed that he was retiring, but many speculated that he was forced into that position after a lack of support and productivity. Wyoming football only had one winning season in the entire decade of the 1970s. The Black 14 went on to live productive lives. Many obtained a college degree, some went to the NFL, some opened businesses, one became an executive at Ford. Another became a sports anchor and distinguished broadcaster. Several became teachers. In 1978, the Mormon Church claimed to have received divine revelations from God to open Mormon priesthood to African Americans. Now you know.